Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Catch a Wave with the Surfin' Cowgirl, only on LA Talk Radio.
Howdy, 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 y'all. Welcome to Catch a Wave with me, Jenny Lee, the Surfin' Cowgirl on LA Talk Radio. It's raining here today. Hallelujah. We got some much-needed rain here in LA, and I'm so excited to introduce one of my oldest and best pals all the way from Leedy, Oklahoma. Jada, are you out there across the airwaves catching a wave?
Yes, I'm here, Jenny.
Okay, great. This is one of my childhood friends, been friends for over 40 plus years. She is an award-winning, worldwide acclaimed author. I'm speaking it, sister. She and her husband have written a book, and I want to tell you, when I got it in my hands, I knew I wasn't going to put it down. I knew I was going to finish it. I knew it when I held it in my hands and looked at the cover. And this is a walking testimony of love and hope and grace and healing in the name of Jesus. If I ever had one in my hands, this is it. And as I went through the first 15 pages, I just kept saying out loud as I was wiping snot and wiping tears, I knew that's what it would be because this is my home. This is my homeland. These are my people. I love these people. I've been there. I was there. I lived it. And, you know, it gave me healing. It gave me healing in what I have watched and witnessed you endure. And girl, I've wondered many times how you're still standing. And I know the answer. It is the power and the love and the truth and the light and the hope and the faith of the blood of Christ.
That's exactly right, Jenny. That's exactly right.
And so
that's the only way it can get through. That's the trial.
That is the only way that I think you're still standing, my friend. And, you know, this book is available on Amazon, and the best way for you to get to it, and when I looked there, they had about 18 copies left, but I know when this goes out during this hour, I know all my friends are going to be click, click, clicking, hitting that Amazon link, ordering this book, because they know I know where the good stuff is. And so I'm always telling them, go here, get this, because they know I'm out there turning over every stone, finding it. But Hope Beyond Brokenness by Mark and Jada Haney. And of course, you had, you know, one of my heroes, Pastor Jimmy Evans, write the foreword. I just don't know how much better this could get. And Hope Beyond Brokenness, a beautiful little easy read book. Michelle Morris at Inspire on Purpose, she says the sweet spot for a book is 97 to 126 pages. You hit the sweet spot. This is a great little read. I love it that you put it in a bold print. And I can't say enough good about how y'all put this book together. God must have just went before you and behind you, causing you to triumph, because this is a true, true little treasure, Jada. But I want to talk a little bit. Yeah, let me give you a minute to get a word. You talk. I'll shut up, which is hard for me.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
I get to going, and I'm just like, okay, so when we were 13, your mother abruptly passed away, and I want you to know that I never thought she was going to die. I mean, you know, like, your mother was such Darlene Calloway, this beautiful, beautiful pillar of God's hope and love. I mean, she drug us to church every Sunday. I loved this woman. She went before us and blazed a trail. I can't say enough about how wonderful this woman was and how she is, and she is sitting at the foot of Jesus cheering us on today, loving that we're doing this. I can just hear her now via the Holy Spirit of God. I can just see her now. She is, I can see her throwing her head back and laughing. And I love that woman. And at 13 years old, I was not ready for her to go. And I never thought she was going to die. I thought she was going to pull out of it. And, you know, and so what I'm trying to say is that I was in shock. I was in shock when she passed away, and just didn't even know how to approach it. But that was a unfortunate string of deaths that would occur. And I'm only going to read two pages out of this book, and then that's all I'm going to give away, because people cannot believe this triumphant story. It's just beyond comprehension what you have plowed through and worked through and prayed through and came through. And it will do nothing but lift people up, strengthen them, and give them hope in a very, very difficult, broken world. So here I'm going to start on page 13, and this is your husband talking. And we kind of like old Pastor Mark Haney. He's kind of a cool cat, and he's a winner. I mean, I've known him longer than I've known you, actually. And we got a lot of good athletes out there in Western Oklahoma. And Mark Haney was quite a baseball player. And he was a fabulous catcher, fabulous hitter, a super duper athletic. You were a great athlete. Your sister Vanna was a tremendous athlete, and I could hold my own. So out there in Oklahoma, we have an anointing and an appointing. We can sing us a little country music, and we can play us some sports. And I love me some Western Oklahoma, and I love my people, but this is what your precious, wonderful Pastor Mark Haney husband had to say. He says, Jada and I were high school sweethearts. I was a junior and she was a sophomore when we began dating. And he goes on to say that people thought y'all were a little too young to be serious, and he believed that your mom had a little something to do with y'all's, you know, high school sweetheart journey. But your mom passed away when you were 13, and then your dad passed away just a few years later when you were 18. And he said, I remember holding Jada in the hospital room where her dad lay there unconscious. Then I remember coming home from a summer baseball trip in the summer of 86 to find out that Jada's brother-in-law, Lynn, had been tragically killed in a farming accident. Lynn was 23 years of age at the time of his death. Lynn and Vanna had raised Jada and Jara, her younger sister, and their mom and dad were both gone now. I remember going to Jada's farmhouse where they lived and just holding her. 10 years later, Vanna, Jada's older sister, was tragically killed in a car accident on August 8th of 1996. Vanna was 32 years old at the time of her death. Lindsay, Lynn and Vanna's daughter, went to live with her father's grandparents, Dwayne and Sue. Lindsay was 11. Jada and I had been married for 4 years at the time of Vanna's death. And Jara, Jada's younger sister, came to live with Jada and I, and she was 14. The next obituary in our family, just 2 years later, read... And Jada, I'm going to try to hold my bearings together. Jaden Mark Haney was born May 16th of 1997 to Jada Lynn and Ronald Mark Haney, and passed away November 5th of 1998 at the age of 1 year, 5 months, and 19 days. Jaden was a happy and active little boy who made those around him feel good. He loved watching VeggieTales and learning about God. Although he was very young, he will always be remembered for touching many hearts and lives. 5 years later, on August 8th of 2003, our nephew, Jance, Jada's brother, Clark, and Jennifer's son, went to be with Jesus at home. with the Lord at the age of 2. I have seen my wife weather many a storm and heartache in grief. She is my hero. She is the foundation I lean on. She smiles when I want to stop. I love her more than I could ever say in words. She is broken. I am broken. But we are broken together. And we know that there is a hope beyond this brokenness because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can find hope in your place of hurt and pain. And our prayer is that this book will help you find the hope and the healing beyond your brokenness. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and He rescues those whose spirits have been crushed. Psalm 34:18. I wondered, amen, yep. Sister. I wondered before I got the book in my hands. And we talked about how we would bring the book into the light for people to order. I thought, my God, how are we going to put it all into work? How could we ever tell the story? And then you and Mark did in less than 2 pages. There was a chain of deaths that occurred. They were traumatic. There was extreme trauma. And you even say in the book to Mark, my God, Mark, who's next? And then there was a next. And I literally remember calling you the day before your son's funeral, and I didn't have any words. I didn't know what to say. And Mark even talks about that in the book. He's like, practice the hush rule. I mean, and I saw this little cartoon, and it was a bear, a big bear reaching out to another big fuzzy bear. And one bear is approaching the other bear, and the bear's sitting down, and he's sad. And the bear coming to him says, are you okay? And the bear sitting down says, yeah, I'm okay. But they know that's not true. They both know it's not true. Nothing's okay. No one's okay. And so the one bear sits down beside the other bear, and he puts his arm around him, and he sits there, and he hugs him, and he holds him. And Mark talks about that in the book, about kind of like sometimes you need to hush and you need to hug somebody. And I thought that was so wonderful. When you don't know what to do, like I did not know what to do the day I called you. And I did not know, I didn't have words. I didn't know what to say, but I just wanted to call you and say, my God, Jada, I'm so sorry. And I don't know what to say. And I don't know what to do. But I am going to be diligently praying for you and your family and lifting you up in prayer.
Yes, absolutely. And that is something that we, you know, just being in a ministry like Mark and I have, we're coming up on 20 years that we've been here in Leedy with when we established the church here. And even previous before that, we've been in ministry for at least 25 years. And, you know, just over that amount of time, you're going to see a lot of funerals. You're going to be around a lot of loss, and not just to mention our own personally, but, you know, we are around, when you're in ministry, you're around that. And you're looked at to bring hope and counseling and love. And, well, that was one thing that Mark and I learned. And just by hearing and seeing the pain on others' faces when someone accidentally would come into a situation or a home where there's been a loss and say something that they think that is helpful, or just because they just don't know what else to say.
Right, they're nervous. Yeah.
It's usually inappropriate, or it's just not quite the thing you should say.
Right.
You know, it's a stressful situation, and it's kind of awkward, and you just don't know what to say.
So right.
You feel like you have something, but you don't.
No.
That's what we wanted to convey, is you don't have to say anything. All you have to do is hurt, hush, and hug, or hug, hurt, and hush. You know, just remember those three H rule is what we call it, the three H rule. Hush, hug, and hurt with that person.
Yes.
That's all you have to do.
And I always think, you know, I always say, it goes back to like maybe a survival rule in my mind, like what brings people together? And I always say a meal, gather a meal. If you who has ever brought you a meal to your house and you slammed the door in their face? No one. And so sometimes, many times, you know, I show up with a dish. And I'm like, don't worry about returning this dish. I'm gifting you the dish. And it was people I didn't know, but you wanted to do something. So when you don't know what to do, show up and maybe offer something. But if, you know, we're entering into the holiday times and this is a very, very busy time, and people, a lot of times, they can't keep up the pace. And at our house, our children didn't like it very much. But after they reached the age of 18 and got out of high school, we said, no more gift giving. No more gift giving. We're not going to buy gifts at the holiday. You know, when your iPhone breaks and you need a new one, we can't wait till Christmas to go replace it. When your laptop crashes and you're in college and you need a new one, we can't wait till Christmas. So pretty much Christmas is every week for you in this day and age, you know. And at the holiday time, we're trying to create a servant mindset. You know, if you want to be first, brother, then go stand in the back of the line. If you want to be first, if you want to be promoted, you want God to promote you, then get a cause that's bigger than your little old self. Give it away to keep it. Get out there and serve. Be a servant serpent, servant servant, because he who is last will be first. And so we, you know, of course, I love the message at Baylor University where my youngest son went. They're all about leadership and service. And I can't think of two people that have served more diligently, longer, harder, through thick and thin, literally walking through hell, literally coming out the other side, you know, not so much as smelling a smoke. And I would just stand back and be like, my God, I don't know how they're still standing. My God, I don't know how they're still standing. And I think I read this, that in a marriage where there is a loss of a child, the divorce rate is like approximately 72-76%. Did I read that right?
Yes, that's right. That's correct. There is a very high percentage of divorces for couples that lose a child. Very high.
And then, you know, and go ahead. I just, you know, so not only, you know, and then that's so misfortunate because, my God, in all honesty, who can relate to the loss the way your spouse can? And it's like, you better hang on. I'm thinking in my mind, just in common sense and sensibility, you probably are going to need to hang on to each other for life to make it out on the other side.
Yes. But it's just, there's just so much that goes into the grief process. And we share that in our book.
Yes.
About the difference between the grieving process between a man and a woman. I mean, we all grieve differently anyway, regardless, because we're all individuals and we all have different backgrounds and we have all different beliefs and upbringings. And that all plays a part in how we respond to our grief or our heartbreak or whatever we've been through and that life throws at us, whether it's abuse or just, you know, all the different kinds of things that are hurtful and cause us brokenness. You know, from the time we're children, we go through things as children, we go through things as adults. I mean, if you're going to be on this earth, you're going to go through things. But the thing with married couples, when they go through the loss of a child, it's abnormal for a child to go before a parent. It's just not normal. It doesn't feel right. It isn't right. It's not what God intended. But it is the reality of our life on this earth. Things happen. Accidents happen. Loss and death happen. And it's hard. It's one of the most difficult things I ever faced. Even losing my mother and at age of 13, as difficult as that was, I knew when this happened with my son that it could really take me under. And I knew the one thing, the only thing that I could do was allow myself permission to embrace grief. And a lot of the times people aren't really taught or shared with or told, you have my permission or you have permission to grieve. And because grief, they think, is a weakness, or they think there's something wrong with you, or but let me tell you something, you're going through a flood of emotions that you're trying to navigate through, and you can't do it without some help. I promise you that. If you try to do it on your own, you won't be able to do it. And God didn't intend for us to be alone in any crisis we go through. He said, we need each other. We have to help each other. We have to reach out to each other.
We have to have human touch. We have to have connection with one another. Isolation is an extremely dangerous thing. And I always say the bestsellers in the devil's workshop are comparison, doubt, fear, and isolation. So when you start isolating yourself, when you start comparing, when you let doubt and fear creep into your mind, you are opening the door for the lies of, and you know, people were saying, I don't know what else to call it. You can call it the enemy. It says in the Word of God, what we wage against is not flesh and bone, but it is darkness and principalities. And so you can call it the yin and the yang, the black and the white. You can call it the light and the darkness, but you better move into the light. You better follow the light. You better go towards the light. And the light is representation of the truth. And I've said this before, you've been walking along the sidewalk and you see a dandelion growing out of the concrete and you're like, how'd that happen? That's a tough little flower right there. I mean, even plant life knows to get out of the darkness and get to the light. And so Jesus is the truth and the way and the life and the light. And, you know, and even if your belief system is not Jesus, I mean, we all come from different cultures all around the world. We're in LA here. They don't know if there's 12 million people here or 15 million people here because they can't count them all. But the point that I'm making is it's a city made equipped to hold 9 million people. And there's more people in this city than there is in Australia. And so there's a lot of people out there that need help, that need outreach, and not just in LA. We're talking in the state of Texas, in the state of Oklahoma, all across America. People are lonely. People are hungry. People are needing a hand up. And now we're going into cold weather months. We're going into the holidays. And I watched this Elon Musk interview, and you know, Elon Musk is the inventor of Tesla. He's pretty smart old boy. And he was talking about, in our society, the suicide rate is increasing at such a rapid pace due to the rapidness of assimilation. And it's because we got that smartphone in our hand and everyone's taking pictures. And then they're staging the pictures and they're putting filters on the pictures and they're making it look better than it is. And the reality is it ain't that good. They ain't that happy. But see, they're making themselves skinnier and prettier and younger on the filter. They're staging the background to make it look happy. And then everyone else is comparing to that. And they're thinking, oh, well, my life sucks. You know, I don't look that good. I'm not having that much fun. And so the point is that here at the holidays, you know, and they're singing, it's the most wonderful time of the year, and Jingle All the Way Home, and someone is setting and they're in need, and they're in pain, and they're in darkness, and they're in grief, and they need a hand out, and they need a hug, and they need a lift up, and they need a word of love and comfort spoken over them. And I'm saying, do not go at it alone. Step up, step out, reach out. Talk to somebody. And if you don't get the answer you need or want, go to the next person. Go to the next person. But get to somebody that's gonna hug you and hold you and help you and, like you say, hurt with you. Because help is out there. And do not compare yourself in this fast, 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 fast smartphone world. You know, all these college kids are suffering from depression. And you're not going to convince me that it's not because of the rapid pace of technology and the rapid pace of assimilation that is occurring while they got that smartphone in their hand. You and I went to college without a phone. We had Britannica Encyclopedia in the library. We did just fine. You know? Slow down. Take a breath. Love on somebody. Reach out. Write them a handwritten card. Take them a meal. Go spend time with people. Have human touch. Hold someone's hand. Hug someone's neck. And in my personal healing of overcoming autoimmune disease, I was up there giving it away to get it and giving it away to keep it. And by the way, January 27th, I have lived 12 years longer than they ever said I would, and I don't let people tell my story for me. I don't let people drive my train for me. I read the Word of God. I read the truth of the Word of God. I stand on the power and the foundation of that truth and the light of God, and that is what keeps me keeping on. And just for back alley justice and street savvy moxie, if I were to say, all I know to tell you is to keep on going. Keep on going. Because when I heard this little song, and it's in the little cartoon movie Hercules, and of course Michael Bolton sings it because Michael Bolton's just wonderful. But it says, when I get where I'm going, I'll be right where I belong. Well, I love that. And that could mean today. That could mean this week. But the gist of it is, all I know to tell you, if you are hurting, if you need help, just keep going. Just keep going. Don't give up. And Jada, you know, you're such a walking testimony, you and Mark and your lives. And I've been in your home, and your home has the joy of the Lord. And your daughter, in the middle of the book, she has a little chapter. And when I got to it, I was like, oh, girl. You speak in my language, because I always say, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box, folks. I'm not the sharpest, but I promise you, I'm one of the sturdiest. I mean, my daddy gave me a wherewithal. I love my daddy. He had a lot of faults and falters, but I love my daddy. He made me who I am. I am his daughter, and he gave me a strength and a wherewithal. And you know, your daughter says in this middle chapter of the book, she says, broken crayons still color. Broken crayons still can color. And I just love that. Are you there?
Yeah, it just kind of went dead.
Yeah, we lost it. It's raining here, so we lost connection for a minute. But talk about Taya. She was 4 when she lost her brother.
I'm sorry, you cut out again.
Okay, I said Taya was 4 when she lost her brother. And I know the house was empty when you went to caring for one 4-year-old instead of a 4-year-old and an 18-year-old. And so, Jada, not only did you have to be there for yourself, you had to be there for Mark, your husband, and you had to be there for Taya, your 4-year-old.
Yes, I did. Taya, you know, you kind of realize when you're in a situation like that. And I know that this has happened with many families or couples or even a person, a mother out there that have lost maybe one child and you still have other children. It's hard to not just focus and lose sight of the fact that you still have other children to raise and you still have life with that child, you know. And sometimes there's, you know, the enemy just really likes to work on our minds sometimes as moms, you know, that we, you know, that we keep, that when sometimes if we have the guilt of the joy of the child that remains, you know, I just want you to know that guilt is not from God and that is from the enemy, and that you need to embrace the life that you've been given now.
Amen.
And it's been a process. It was a process for me. I'm not sitting here saying that I just automatically got up and everything was hunky-dory. It wasn't. It was months and weeks of pain and processing grief. But it can happen. And when you have those other children in your life, and some of them may have been grown, it doesn't really matter, but you still have people in your life that need your focus, that need you to be okay. I'll never forget when my counselor told me, because I was so concerned about not just my grief, but the grief of my daughter.
Yeah.
How am I going to explain this to a four-year-old? How is she processing her own grief at 4 years old? And one thing I'll never forget that the counselor told me was, she said, Jada, Taya will be okay as long as mom and dad are okay.
Amen.
And when she said that to me, I was like, wow, that is a responsibility that I have. So I have to make sure that I am processing this right with her. And so we never hid it from her. We never did anything. When she wanted to talk about it, and let me tell you, this little four-year-old, out of the mouths of babes, they are very inquisitive about heaven, about where did brother go, where is he? You know, will I get to see him again? You know, they have all those questions, but you can share the truth with them. And I encourage you, as a believer, you have to share the truth of God's word. We're not, you know, we can't just sit here and believe that we're just going to be these, you know, that he's a baby angel up there floating on a cloud. It's not like that. You know, we are going to see him again one day. And
absolutely.
He is in heaven. I know exactly where he's at.
Absolutely.
But he's in our future.
Yes. And I've never shared this with you. Can you hear me when I'm talking?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause I got a ringing in my ear, but that's okay. So when I was in that coma 12 years ago, and I don't think I've ever shared this with you. But when I was in that coma 12 years ago, and I was, you know, on full blown life support for 32 days and, had 0 to 4% chance to live. And my dad actually asked Mark to come and pray with me, and Mark did, and we'll talk about that later. But I want to talk to you about what I saw and what I experienced. And so, you know, you can say I was on high-grade pharmaceutical, I was in a medically induced coma. You can say whatever you want to say. Anybody can say whatever they want to say. But I lost 85% of my memory. And I worked with two professional psychologists to regain my memory and work through. I did 5 years of rehabilitation from this near-death situation. I was given 0 to 4% chance to live. I know you remember because your husband, Mark, came and prayed for me. My dad asked him to come. But I want you to know there was a 15-day stint that I set at the foot of Jesus. And this is very interesting because I was at a rough and challenging place in my life. And every time that they resuscitated me, and they resuscitated me 5 times, not 3, not 4, but 5 times. And that sounds like an exaggeration and a lie, but it is not. And they resuscitated me 2 hours and 43 minutes at one point. And the helicopter team at Northwest Texas Helicopter, the Northwest Texas Helicopter team got me jump started. And that charge nurse, she said, I was 38 years old with three kids, and I knew you were 38 years old with three kids. And she said, the Lord God above, via the Holy Spirit, said, don't quit on her. Don't quit on her. And, you know, normally they, amen, sister. Normally they work on you 20 or 40 minutes, and that's proper protocol right. to quit. She had them work. See, she's in command, so they can't quit until the charge nurse says to quit. So 2 hours and 43 minutes, they worked on me. And when the helicopter 10 came in, she said, get them in here. Because those helicopter team men, they got lots of tricks up their sleeves. And they can just, they jump start people out in the middle of a field, you know. So they jump started me. But long story short, I sit at the feet of Jesus for 15 days. And I'm going to tell you, I knew what they were doing. I knew they were working on my body. I had an out-of-body experience every time. Yeah. And the first time I thought, well, hell, here goes nothing. I'm about to burn in a fiery pit of hell for eternity, or I'm just going to be dead in the ground like a dog. I mean, I didn't, my faith was so low, and I was just so defeated and beat down by the world. And I thought, well, who's it going to be? Am I going to see Tom Cruise? I mean, who's it going to be? And Jada, there he was, the Son of God. I'm telling you, it was Jesus, the Son of God. And he came and he did exactly what the Word of God says. He reached out and took me by the hand while he was holding the hand of God. And I have said this before, I went all John Wayne on him. You know, just imagine I had attitude when I met Jesus. I was mad. I wasn't happy. This was not supposed to be happening to me. But I said, if you are who you say you are, if you're truly the Son of God, then I want you to heal me. And he hit me with a bolt of lightning, and it went through me an anointing, and I knew every bit of death was burnt out of my body, and the light and the life and the truth and the power at the hand of God was in my body, and I literally thought it knocked my knees off, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Out of my mouth came something via the Holy Spirit that I never would have said. Connected to death. I only in my mind had connected this verse to addiction. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. See, I always thought like when you're in bondage of addiction, who the Son sets free and free indeed. Well, who the Son of God sets free is free indeed. He freed me of disease and death that day. I had to walk out my healing. I'm still walking it out. But who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, what I'm going to say about this pertaining to small children is this, because I wasn't looking for this. And, you know, I don't know the Word of God the way that you and Pastor Mark Haney know the Word of God, but I know it pretty well because your mother drugged me to church every week. And I got some pretty wonderful, mighty prayer warriors of God around me. And so I do know the Word of God a little bit, but I believe that Jesus, the Son of God, met me in a place called paradise because there was a boundary, Jada. There was a boundary, and it was up on a hill. And I knew that hill was Calvary. And I knew that if I walked over that hill with him and I went beyond that boundary, that I would not come back to this earth. And so I believe that I met him in paradise. But what's so funny, I'm about to blow your socks off. Heaven for me. Regain composure. Heaven for me was Jim Shockey Sweetfield Bottom. I was standing in Jim Shockey Sweetfield Bottom, south of Jim Shockey's house in the Wheatfield Bottom.
Amen.
And there was Jesus. And I ran to him and I threw my arms around him and I sat at the foot of Jesus with my head in his lap. And he held me.
Amen.
And he held me. And I heard the children playing. I heard all these children laughing and playing and laughing and playing like there was a playground nearby. And I kept raising my head up and looking for the children. I kept looking for the children. I could hear all this laughing and playing, and they're just making a joyful noise, and they're laughing and they're playing. And I kept looking for the children. And he knew what I was doing, and he said, "They're with me. They're with me." And the next thing that happened is beyond belief. A four-year-old little boy that I knew from New Mexico runs out to me and says, "Tell them that I'm here. Tell them that I'm here." And he jumps up and down and twists around and does a little dance. And he said, "Tell my mom, tell my dad, tell my brother and my sister, tell them I'm here and that I'm fine. And then it's okay. And I'll see them soon. And I don't want them to be sad. And tell them that I'm here and I'm happy and that I'm okay." And I just broke into and I just put my head down in the lap of Jesus. And then I looked up at him and I said, "What kind of a God are you that you take people's children from him?" And he said, "I didn't take them. I did not take them. It was a tragedy and it was an accident and it was just of this world. But I assure you, they endured no pain, and they are with me now." Okay, now, Jada, I want you to know it was 4 years before I ran into that mom and dad at a college rodeo at Texas Tech University Equestrian Center in Lubbock, Texas. And there they were. And I had carried this burden for 4 years to convey this message. And I thought, they're going to think you're crazy as a loon bird. They're going to think you're Looney Tunes. But how could I go on in life without delivering the message that I thought I saw and that I thought I heard? And sister, I know I heard it. And I want you to hear what the daddy said to me. Now, I knew these people. I knew these people because we high school rodeoed with them and we college rodeoed with them. And there they are at the college rodeo. And so it's funny how we just all loomed around the same area that night. And I said, "Can I talk to you later? I need to talk to you for a minute." And I said, "Can I talk to you about this?" And they're like, "Yeah." And so I told the mom and dad the story. And I said, and the mom said, "I have one question." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "Was he still 4 years old?" And I said, "He appeared to be so." And the dad said, "Jenny, I know you are speaking the truth. I know you are, because you did not know him that well. You were around the big kids. You were not around him. He was only four." He said, "You nailed the words he would use. You nailed it the way he would use them. You even said phrases and things that he would say. And he was always our literal cheer-upper. He didn't want any of us to fuss or fight or be sad. He was our little cheer-upper." He said, "Jenny, you nailed it." He said, "I know you saw him, and I know you are speaking truth." And I said, "I know I am."
Yeah.
And so I want...
I know it too.
That's
Jenny. I mean, that's awesome. Because I think those are the message that God has been trying to convey to all of us. Is we, you know, there's so many things out there that saying that, you know, that saying death is the end, but it's not. You know, death is you know, death on this earth, yes, but not for our eternal hope. And that's the hope that we have as believers. We have an eternal life after this life.
Amen.
And the only way we can believe in that is through the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. When we receive him, that's the hope we receive. And we can heal when we have hope.
Amen.
When you have hope, you can heal no matter what you face. But if you don't have the hope of eternity, then you don't have anything to believe for or look forward to.
Correct.
You know, and how sad how sad, you know, that they believe that this is it, you know, that this life is all there is, when that's not the truth, you know. And God says that he goes to prepare a place for us. And I'm thankful because that's exactly what I saw. You know, I saw my mom and my sister at her side, and I saw her holding my boy and bouncing him up and down.
Praise God.
And he was facing her, and he was being bounced up and down, and she was laughing her big laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
And I that was my glimpse. I had a glimpse
of heaven.
I had a glimpse of heaven.
Woo!
And the reason why, it was because I was in such a down place. This was shortly after he had passed. And boy, the enemy, that's when he likes to pounce on us, is when we are at a very dark and despairing
kick
place.
You while you're down.
And he was trying to sneak in and tell me that there was no life after this, that he's gone forever, you know. And boy, sometimes we are in such a broken place that we start believing those thoughts, you know, and that's where you really have to hold on to your faith and what you believe in, because it will, the enemy, he's vicious. He's been doing this for a long time, and he'll try to come in and steal your faith in God, and steal your faith in your hope in your future. And so I was crying out to God one night, and I was just broken beyond reason. I just couldn't sleep. I had tossed and turned all night. I was being tormented. I just knew that I just had this feeling of just despair.
Battlefield of the mind.
God came to me that night, and he showed me. You know, I didn't ask to see Jaden. I didn't even ask to see my mom or my sister. But, you know, we don't know, and we don't understand sometimes the depth and the need of our spiritual lives. Sometimes we need things that's beyond this earth. Sometimes
Amen.
We need a miracle.
Woo! Breakthrough.
To step into our lives, you know. Sometimes we need to see things that is beyond this world.
Amen.
You know, because we only see in part. We only know in part. But, you know, one day we'll see and know more. But, you know, but we have faith and we have hope, and nobody can change that or take that away from us.
No.
And we had a special thing happen to us, Jenny. You had a special thing happen to you. And I just believe you went to that grass field behind your daddy's house because that's home to you.
Amen.
And he's so heartfelt for us.
Personal.
He wants to meet us at a personal level. You know, that's the kind of God that we serve.
Amen.
A personal God.
A loving
God that
Father.
Loves us,
yes.
That he'll find some way that's going to speak to us personally.
Yes.
And, you know, and you tell me, a God that is, you know, that this world is so full of, you know, all these false things that false gods, false belief systems that are based on nothing and that will just fall away. But he cared enough to come and give everything for us.
Amen.
And that's the reason why we share. That's the reason why we're here. That's the reason why you went to LA, is because there's a vast amount of people that he wants to reach in a personal way. And
today,
by us saying what we're saying today, that it's going to drop on somebody's ear that needs just one little glimmer of hope, you know, because there is a, you know, a lost and dying world. And if we don't have hope, we can't heal, and we sure can't help anyone else.
I love it that
and so,
you say in the book, Prisoner of Hope, and I use that all the time. And I said, boy, howdy, I'm a-telling you, I didn't come all the way to L.A. not to find Jesus in L.A. I didn't come all this way not to bring Jesus to L.A. And today we've brought Jesus to L.A. And I just want to reach out, you know, first of all, our wish on Wednesday today is we're gonna buy a certain amount of books to put in the bookmobile. I've got the Catch a Wave mobile, and it's a bookmobile, and we're going to equip it with books. And so our wish on Wednesday is to the Hope Beyond Brokenness Ministry. They're headed up by you and your husband, Pastor Mark Caney, in Leedy, Oklahoma. We want you to go to that Amazon link. We want you to pick up this fabulous, fabulous book. It is Hope Beyond Brokenness. And Mark and Jada Haney, they have done a wonderful, wonderful job with this book. It's available on Amazon Prime. And please, 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 if you have bought the book, please go on and rate the book, because that's important. And so, of course, I'm giving it a 5 out of 5 stars. We're going to have y'all back on next month in December before the Christmas holiday. And then I'm probably going to have Taya or both of y'all back on together after the first of the year. But I want to reach out to everyone listening today in a spirit of hope and love. I don't know where you are at your walk in life. I don't know what your situation is, but if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I just want you to agree with me that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But God gives us a gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And He demonstrates this love to us while we are still lost. He gives us a gift of His Son, Christ Jesus, that died for us. And the Word of God says, if you will speak out of your mouth, I accept Jesus as my Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the grave so that I might be saved and have eternal life. I believe with all my heart that I am justified, sanctified, separated, that by my faith I would be saved. It says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so today, if all you have, wherever you're sitting, is a glimmer of hope left in you that you want to be given the gift of salvation, you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you are born again, and you are ding, 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 and done, saved, separated, and sanctified by the blood of Christ. And that is where your new life will begin. Jada, anything you want to add to that?
Yes, I just wanted to say, sometimes, you know, I know someone out there that may be just so broken and so desperate and so hurting, and you're just one, and this may be completely new to you, hearing the salvation message about Christ and what Jesus has done for Jenny and I, but I just want to just comfort somebody out there and just let you know that sometimes you may not even feel that you can, that you, I mean, you're like, we're just, you know, just crazy talking here, but we're not. We're just trying to share our hearts. We're
personal experience.
We face real life things, and we believe in a real God.
Amen.
A real Savior. And He's touched us in a real way.
Amen.
But, you know, sometimes we don't always feel. Sometimes we have to believe by faith, and that's all He's even asking. And I promise you, if you will just believe by faith in Jesus, that there will be a way and there will be a time when you're going to really fully understand who He is in your life and the personal relationship that you can have with Him. It's simple. The gospel message is simple. He didn't make it hard because He wanted all of us to come to the knowledge of faith. And He loves us, and He also shared with us, too, that we would have tribulation in this world. So you may be facing tribulation. You may be going through something right now that is so difficult, and you're just like, I can't believe in anything better, but you can. It may not take you completely out of your situation or your heartache or brokenness, but it will help you through it. You know, I knew that I was going through grief. We go through things and pains and hurts, but we don't stay there. It's a season and time in our life that we pass through, just like the season and time of pain that you may be facing. You're not going to stay there. If you follow Christ, He will help you through it.
Amen.
And you'll be able to find a place of getting through. And just realizing that seasons do come to pass, they don't come to stay. And so just be hopeful in a brighter future and hope for tomorrow.
Amen. There is hope beyond brokenness. please, please reach out, get this book, Mark and Jada Haney of Leedy, Oklahoma, forward by Pastor Jimmy Evans, Mighty, Mighty Man of God, Hope Beyond Brokenness. You can find it on Amazon. Jada, we have so many victory stories to tell, so many miracles that we've witnessed and walked through. We couldn't get them all in today. I knew we wouldn't, but we want to offer this little treasure of hope to anyone that would need a hand guide, a booklet, something. I mean, I love books. I love to hold a book in my hand. I love reading it. Please reach out. Grab this on Amazon, Hope Beyond Brokenness, Pastors Mark and Jada Haney of Leedy, Oklahoma. Jada, love, love, love you and your family. Going to have back next month. What were you going to say?
Okay, thank you so much for having me today.
Okay, and catch a wave, old friend, because you know the miracles are in the timing. Be blessed, all of you. Love all you out in Western Oklahoma, my people. I will never, never forget where I came from. I love my friends in Western Oklahoma. Go Bison, go Bears.
You're listening to Catch a Wave with the Surfing Cowgirl, only on LA Talk Radio.